If you are joining us on the Immerse Bible Reading program, over these last couple of weeks we've worked our way through Luke's Gospel. And I know many of you have sat down with friends or in small groups or whatever and just talked about what have you seen as you read through Luke's Gospel. There's nothing new, nothing startling in many ways, but I know just listening to folks that God's saying new things to them through His Word. One of the pictures of Jesus from Sunday school days is the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And there are probably some of us at least could sing them. And we're quite comfortable with that Jesus. That Jesus who heals, who teaches, who comforts, who calls little children to come to Him, He allows those children to come to Him. And all those things are so true and so good and just part of that ministry of Jesus. And we are very comfortable in that. But one of the interesting things is as you move through Luke's Gospel, it begins to get a little bit more uncomfortable. Because Jesus starts to challenge. And we see a different side of His ministry. And in this passage, which Christine read for us a few moments ago, woe to you. I'm not sure how woe actually translates. It's not, how many people have used the word woe this week? We don't use it. It's grief, it's affliction, it's trouble, it's difficulty, whatever it is. Woe to you. That's not an easy thing to hear. It's not really what we expect from that Jesus who is gentle and meek and mild. But who was Jesus talking to? Now, if we'd heard that, we might think, well, Jesus is obviously talking to those people who are totally non-religious, those people who have no time for the things of God, those people who are outside of the church. Those are the people. Woe to you. And in many ways, that makes us feel even more comfortable and smug. But He's not. He's speaking to people who should be at the very heart of the things of God. He speaks to the Pharisees, He speaks to the teachers of the law, the very center of religious life, people who should have been opening people's minds concerning the very things of God. They lost sight of all of that, and Jesus challenges them. They seem to honor the prophets. But maybe that looked like a good thing. They were building and rebuilding memorials to these great prophets who had gone before in all of God's providence for His people. But alongside doing that, they were rejecting the very Jesus whom the prophets had pointed to. Just as their forefathers had, they lived in opposition to what God was doing for them. And they missed out. Matthew's Gospel in this account simply says, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. My goodness, what a thing to say. You have closed the doors, you've shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. Woe to you, Pharisees and teachers of the law. And he goes on to explain more of what he means. He says, you know, when you Pharisees are preparing a meal and you're cutting up all those herbs with your nice little chopper thing on the board, you take a tenth of those herbs and you set them to one side. And you're careful to do that. But even though you do that, you neglect justice. You neglect the love of God. Careful in that little detail of putting one tenth of those herbs aside, but neglecting the big things of justice and the very love of God. He says you want the best seats in the synagogue. You want people in the marketplace to greet you and almost bow to you because you're so important and you've missed out on what God is doing. You've missed out. He says, you place heavy burdens on people. The Pharisees were so keen to observe all the laws that were given to them that they built in extra laws almost to protect those laws, and they built more and more laws onto them. And the original idea may have been great to try and protect, to make sure you didn't break any of those laws, but all it did was just add more and more of a burden to people. You need to keep this law. You need to be careful. You don't do this. Don't go there. Aren't seen with these people. These are all the things you need to be careful of. And they just put heavy weights on people. Or no help to them. And people started to find all these wonderfully devious ways around observing these laws. There was that story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee who walks to the front and thanks God that I'm not like all these other people. You know, God, how good I am at doing all the religious things. You know that I fast twice a week. You know that I give a tenth of everything I have. You know how wonderful I am, Lord. How blessed you are to have me in your team, Lord. And then in the background, there's the tax collector. He can't even lift his eyes and simply cries out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, well, come on, which one here is going to be right before God? And as our American friends would say, it's a bit of a no-brainer. He says, you're like cups and dishes that you like to keep fastidiously clean because of all the rituals that you observe. You're like those cups and those dishes. And on the outside, they look absolutely sparkling clean, but the inside, well, that's a different story. The Pharisees would have strained any water that they drank because they didn't want to swallow a little tiny fly in it because that was unclean. So Jesus says to them, well, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. There's a lot of humor in things that Jesus said. That's a sort of, for those of a certain age, sort of a Monty Python type of humor. Straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Looking at a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pointing it out and making a fuss about it when all the time you've got this own great plank in your own eye. Jesus challenged. Now, of course, we wouldn't behave like that. Or would we? Are there times when we look down on others? Are there times when, by the way we behave, we shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces? These challenging words were spoken to God's people. To those who were at the very heart of what it was to be God's people, who had missed out, who had lost sight of what they were called to be and who they were called to be, and Jesus challenges them. But it's not very gentle. It's not very meek. It's not very mild. But we need to hear these words. Because there's a little bit of the Pharisee that lurks within each of us. We read that story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we read it and we hear the implication and we think, whew, I'm glad I'm not like the Pharisee. And then we think, well, hang on, that's the point of that story. I am like the Pharisee. Careful to observe all those tiny details, all those things of how you should dress and how you should speak and where you should go and who you should be with. And we miss out on justice and the love of God. Woe to us if that is true. Jesus didn't just challenge, point these things out. Jesus called to repentance and to faith. Jesus pointed to this new way in him. when all of those laws that people struggled to observe, all of those laws came to be fulfilled in him. And in him we find our righteousness. In him we find our purpose. In him we find our security, our confidence. In him. And so Jesus doesn't just challenge, he calls us. And repentance is simply turning around. And instead of walking our own way, to turn around and to walk towards Christ in faith. That's how we respond to the challenge of the gospel. One of Jim's many, many one-liners was the sentence that said, "I want you to stop going to church, and I want you to start being the church." These folks were very good about going to church, but being seen in the right places, but they failed to be what God called them to be. May God challenge us when we fall into that same category. May God challenge us when we're more concerned about ticking boxes than we are about loving him who first loved us. As we read through Gospel of Luke and we move on now into Acts and moving on, may God continue not just to comfort us and reassure us about where we are, but may he challenge us about where we are and move us on, so that in him we grow, we mature, and we become those who open the very kingdom of God before the faces of men, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. May God give us the grace as we read to hear, and in hearing to listen, and in listening to be obedient. And then may our lives give him honor and glory. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us when we get ourselves into these comfortable places, these ruts in our lives, Lord. And forgive us that we need to be shaken, we need to be challenged. But where that is the case, Lord, work in us by your Holy Spirit. Do not give us rest until we respond. Thank you that you love us just as we are, but thank you too, Lord, that you have greater things for us, and you love us too much to leave us as we are. And so with your people down through the ages, we simply pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.